Bibles handy, I would ask you to open them in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18. While you're turning up the place, I'll get ordained once again and get this thing ready for action. This is supposed to be that everybody can hear. I remember preaching in one place. A woman came to me at the end of the service and she says, "Why do you shout so loud?" I said, "Where were you sitting?" She says, "In the front seat." I says, "Tomorrow night you sit in the back seat." I said, "My father used to teach us that there might be a deaf man in the back seat. That's not to say that he should be there, but he might be there. Might be the only seat he can get. And you should speak loud enough so that deaf man in the back seat will be able to hear. If he hears, everybody else will hear. It's no use being in the service if you don't hear what the preacher is saying. That may be the preacher's fault. And not only so, but if a preacher's to be heard, he should be preaching something that's worth hearing. The other one, an old colored preacher was preaching and a man fell asleep. And he said to the man sitting next to him, he says, "Brother John, you waken him up. He's sleeping." He says, "You waken him up. You put him to sleep." "I don't want to put you to sleep." Gospel according to Luke chapter 18, verse 35. "And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, certain blind man sat by the wayside begging, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. They cried, saying, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' They which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. When he was come near, he asked him, saying, 'What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?' He said, 'Lord, that I may receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee.' And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God." Trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of these scriptures. Shall we bow for a moment of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word, given by inspiration and translated into a language we can read and understand. Thank thee for the message of thy word. We pray now, since we have been reading from it, that by thy Holy Spirit thou shalt impress the message on every heart, that today we'll have to say it was good to be here. We ask these things, giving thanks in the Savior's precious name. Amen. A number of things have been impressed upon me recently. I've been thinking of the fact that God speaks. We mentioned that on Wednesday night, the Wednesday night meeting. God has spoken. And God speaks for the last time. In the Old Testament, he spoke through the prophets. The end of the days of the prophets, he spoke in his Son. God's final message of grace to the world, the presentation of Christ. Way back in the Old Testament, prophet Isaiah tells us certain things about the coming Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord would be upon him. Certain things he would do. One of the miracles he would perform would be the giving of sight to the blind. No one else ever gave sight to the blind. None of those so-called faith healers today can give sight to the blind. If they can, I'd like to meet the person who received the sight. If you know of one, tell me, I'll go and see them. These frauds should be ashamed of themselves. But the Lord Jesus Christ gave sight to the blind. It was one of the miracles that marked him out as being the one who was promised throughout the Old Testament scriptures. But as you read through the Bible regarding blindness, it becomes a very interesting subject. I read away back in the Old Testament of angels who blinded people. Way down in the city of Sodom. And the two angels went down there to tell Lot and his wife to flee for their life. Remember, the man came around the door. Lot went out and tried to reason with them. Couldn't reason with these kind of men, and you'll find you can't reason with these kind of people today either. And the angels took Lot and dragged him back in and smote those men, those sinful men, with blindness. It was an act of judgment. But they were blinded. They couldn't find the door. But when I come to the New Testament, I find the Lord Jesus Christ is giving sight to those that are blind. There's one man we read of in the Gospel according to John chapter 9. He was born blind. That must be an awful affliction. I met a lot of blind people in my day, some of them very accomplished. I've known them that could sit down and play a piano. Beautiful music. Remember one at an organ. Remember one dear lady who used to play a rotto harp and sing. She's blind. I've told you already about her in this desk. I remember her singing, "I shall know him, I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hand." Blind lady, looking forward to the day when she would see the Savior. That's physical blindness. And physical blindness is an awful affliction. You know, it's dangerous. Blindness is a dangerous thing. A blind person needs someone or something to guide them. Otherwise, they'll get into trouble. You just need to watch a blind person on the street. How would they know when to cross over? Of course, they have their dogs now, and the dog does a good job, no doubt. Or someone else can lead them over. But to be blind is dangerous. It's not only a dangerous thing, it can become a very deceptive thing. I remember a blind man sitting on the street, and you know, he had a little can just about the size of that glass in front of him like this, and he was begging. And you know, boys will be boys. They don't have any respect for these kind of people. And I've seen boys getting a little pebble and going up in front of the man and dropping that in his can, it's big. And he would say, "Thank you, thank you." And they'd go on, and then he'd put his hand in, thinking he was getting a coin. He'd been deceived. Now, you couldn't do that with a person who has the sight. You see, you can deceive a blind person. I often feel sorry for blind people, and yet I admire them when I come across them. Who are accomplished in many ways. You know a blind lady at the moment. She's a job in which she trains others. We heard of some who went to get a job in that particular office, and when they were told that this lady would train them, they couldn't believe it. a blind woman going to train them how to do their work? Very accomplished. But, suppose we had a blind person in here today, and we brought them up to the front there, and you said to this blind person, "We have a beautiful vase of flowers here on this table. So if only you could see those beautiful green stems. And then the flowers are like bells. And some of them are pure white. Others are cream color. Some are pink with a little white on them. Others are red." And we started to describe the color. The blind person stands there and says, "I don't believe it. I don't believe it." "Well, why don't you when I can't see them?" Colors mean nothing to a blind person. They can feel, but they can't feel a color. They can only see a color. It's a tragedy when a person is blind. So when you come to the Word of God, you discover there's other blindnesses other than physical blindness. If our gospel is hid, it is hid to them who believe not. And the reason they can't believe is because the god of this age, that's the devil, has blinded the mind of them that believe not. See, I've met some dear people who are blind physically, but they've got their spiritual sight. They know the Lord. And they're looking forward to the day when they'll see the Lord. But you and I have met crowds of people who may have physical sight, but the mind is blinded. They don't understand. Their understanding has been blinded. Now, so far as I'm concerned, blindness of the mind is worse than blindness of the eyes. I would rather be blind physically and know the Lord than to have good 20/20 vision and be a sinner on the road to hell. When we come here to this particular chapter and we're faced with a blind man, if we were to look at this in the light of its context, we'd discover this, that the Lord has come a long way to where this man is. Not only so, it's the last time he would pass along that street. God's final call. You see, as we see this blind man now, he stands in contrast, you know, to others. If we had read right on into chapter 19, we'd discover the record there of a rich man. And that rich man obtained salvation. So don't run away with the idea that rich people can't get saved. I know there's not many noble, perhaps not many rich, but there's always some. Some of them have been good men. My father used to tell us about a man who was known as Sir George Pigott. You can tell by his title that he was quite up in the high ranks. Sir George Pigott, he was a Christian gentleman. He used some of his money to buy what they call gospel carriages. And they put gospel carriages out in the south of England in the different counties. And he himself would stand responsible for getting preachers to go out with them in the summertime and do about 3 months in the summer evangelizing in the villages. Sir George Pigott. But a friend of mine told me a rather humorous story about him. He and his brother were asked to go and preach at the very hall where Sir George Pigott was in fellowship, where he attended. And they were quite nervous about it because they were young men. They said, "Imagine,
imagine going to speak to Sir George Bennett. And they got quite shaky about it. So when they went in that morning and they were sitting in the service, it was the communion service, and they sat in seats where they could see the door, and here a gentleman came in all beautifully dressed up, fancy long tail coat on, you know, little bow tie and everything. They said, that must be Sir George Bennett. So this gentleman came in and sat down to his seat. At the same time, there was an old gentleman came in who was smiling to everybody, and he took his seat. So after the service was over, this old man came to them and said, boys, you're coming with me for lunch today. I'm taking you home for lunch. So he linked up with both of them and were walking down the street, and this well-dressed fellow was coming behind them. So they thought, here's Sir George walking behind us. As they went down the street, there was another church further down that had just come out. The people were coming, walking up the street. The first crowd they came through passing by, they said, good morning, sir. He said, good morning. And the little fellow, good morning, sir. And all of a sudden, someone said, good morning, Sir George. And it suddenly dawned on them that this old man who was linking arms with them was Sir George. And the fellow coming behind them was his butler. So don't judge a man by appearances. God doesn't look on the outward appearance, he looks on the heart. They were walking down with Sir George. He was a rich man. He was saved, all right. He knew the Lord and left a great testimony. And we read of a rich man here in chapter 19, we've got to say, but this man we read of in chapter 18 was just a poor beggar. Now let us remember this. When the Lord was here, it was the poor that gladly heard him. And the gospel has always made greater inroads amongst poor people than it has amongst rich people. And I believe it's still true today. And perhaps the trouble in the United States today is this. We have been so much blessed. People have been prospered so much in the last 50 years. They've forgot all about God. They've no time for God now. A generation has arisen that can get anything they want. And what they can't get, they'll go and steal. But they'll get it by hook or by crook. And if they can get all they want, no time for God. I suppose there would be thousands upon thousands last night at different places just to see some sparklers going up in the air. A few seconds and it's all over. But they wouldn't take time to go out on a nice moonlight night to look up at these beautiful stars, thousands of them, twinkling up there, put there by God's hand. I don't suppose they've ever seen the Aurora Borealis. Why, you haven't got a spot that you can put up. Put up all the fireworks you like. They couldn't compare with them. If you've ever seen them, beautiful. And I've seen them lasting for 2 or 3 hours. Beautiful. See, God in high heaven must look down upon us poor folk down here with sympathy at times. The things that occupy us, things that don't last. But when people are poor, and they haven't much of this world's goods. They've often time to think of spiritual things and they'll listen to the gospel. You know, if God isn't saving people in the United States today, there are souls being saved in other parts of the world. 2 or 3 have told me that right now, over in Eastern Europe, why the people will sit there for 2 solid hours for a meeting. I knew one preacher, he said he didn't know what he was going to do. He said, when does this meeting finish? He said, well, you go on as long as you like. We're not concerned. Just keep going on. 2 hour meeting, he said, he'd never spoke for that length of time all his life. No. Anxious for the world. But oh, what a pitiful object. A blind man sitting by the wayside begging. And let me remark right here, this blind man must have heard that there was a man called Jesus who came from Nazareth and that he had the power to give sight to the blind. You see, this wasn't the first case. This perhaps was the last case of a blind man receiving his sight from the Lord this year. There was a man up in Jerusalem. He had received his sight. The Lord put clay on his eye. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. So he must have been in Jerusalem. And he received his sight. Another man away up in the north. He received his sight. Suppose these men all met together. It would be a wonderful day. A conference for blind men who had received their sight. And they were going to give their testimony. They would all have different stories to tell. One could tell how he was sitting by the wayside. And he didn't know what was happening until somebody said to him, or he heard somebody say, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Discussing him. And then he said, one of the men put clay on his eyes, told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, and he did exactly what he was told, and he got his sight. And the man said, that's not what happened to me. That's not the way it was done with me. Why, of course, he took me outside the city altogether. And he did something with my eyes, and he says, can you see? He says, well, I see men, but they're like trees walking. And he did something again, and he says, I saw clearly. The man said, well, that's not what happened to me. I was sitting down at the wayside, down in the city of Jericho. And he says, I heard that he was passing by, so he said, I shouted to him for help. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he said, that's where I got my sight, down there. Not the same as you. But you see, they had this thing in common. They all received their sight. Now suppose we took a survey of this little audience this morning. I'm not going to do it, but suppose we did. We started with testimonies, and each one just to tell where and when and how they were saved. It's a long while now since there was a real testimony meeting. We used to get limited to 7 minutes. 7 minutes. If you went over the 7 minutes, somebody at the back pulled the coattail. Then it stopped, taking another man's time. And in 7 minutes, you had to tell exactly where you were, how it happened, how you got saved. I've never heard two testimonies exactly alike. That is, if they're telling it correctly. Now, don't you go around looking or searching for somebody else's experience. Don't go around searching for that. If you came to know the Lord your way, and you got saved, that's fine. 5 of us used to travel together. We all got saved in different ways. One got saved in his own home when his mother was taking the devotions one night. His father was a preacher and was away from home a lot. His mother used to take the devotions with her 5 children. And he got saved one night for his mother to talk to them in the home. Another was saved at a big revival meeting big city auditorium.
One was saved standing at a street corner in a city street after having listened to a man preach to him for an hour and three quarters traveling in a bus.
You know, to speak about a captive audience, how would you like to go into a bus and this preacher, you'd come in and you took your seat and he took seat on the outside and there was no other seat, you couldn't move.
Captivated for an hour and three quarters till you got to your destination. You knew he was going to preach there. And he did.
And after they got out of the bus and stand at the street corner, there he accepted Christ as his Savior.
On the street. Oh, yeah. I've seen them
just around on the street. I wasn't in a hall or at a meeting when I got saved. I was away out in the woods. Just the Lord. We're five. We all get saved at different times in different ways. But we had this one thing in common. We knew we had been saved. We knew where.
This man was sitting by the wayside begging. But here was a passing opportunity. Christ was passing by for the last time. He had taken quite a detour from the north, and he made it known to his disciples he was going to Jerusalem, and there he would be betrayed, handed over to the Gentiles, crucified and slain. He made that known to them. But on his way to Jerusalem, he took quite a detour, passing through as many cities as he could, passing through Galilee and Samaria, going over Jordan, coming down on the east bank of Jordan, coming back over at Jericho, perhaps just at the point where the Allenby Bridge is now, coming over into the city of Jericho. That city which had been destroyed when the children of Israel went in, first of all under the leadership of Joshua, and rebuilt in defiance of God. What a picture. A blind man sitting by the wayside begging in a city built by man in defiance of God. What a place to live. But isn't that exactly the picture we've got today? Men's minds have been blinded by the God of this age, lest the light of the gospel should shine in unto them. Begging. No, you say, I'm not a beggar. I don't know. We're all in that position, really. You can't guarantee me that you'll have breath in your nostrils tomorrow. None of us can.
Boast not thyself of tomorrow, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth.
We are dependent on God for every time we take a breath of fresh air. We're dependent upon God for the food that we eat.
So, oh no, we've got quite a store in the cupboard, you know. And we've a lot more in the refrigerator. Well, the electricity might go off. In a few hours' time, it's all wasted. You know that?
And even if you do have it there, where did it come from? It's God who gives us the seed time and the harvest. He gives us the sunshine and the rain, and don't complain about the amount you've had, because others could do with some of it and they're crying out for it. So let's thank God for what we've had these last 2 months. If some things haven't come on too well, others have. My leeks and my parsley have just grown wonderful in this last 2 months, I tell you. And so if it doesn't help one thing, it helps. Thank God for the rain. Thank God for the sunshine. We're beggars at the best. We need God's help. We need His sunshine. We need the rain. We need the seed time. We need the harvest in order to provide us with food. Some parts of the world today are desperate.
desperate for food. Complaining the other day about the price for medicines. Of course, it's scandalous what they're charging for us. These drug houses and drug sales shops, they're making fortunes. They sell you something that costs about 5 cents to produce. They charge you about $100 for it. I know. She has sold that stuff for over 6 years. I know what it costs and what we charge. Not that I charged, I didn't get it. The boss got it. But yet, why should we complain? There are places in the world today that are crying out for medical supplies. They can't get them. Can't even get a bandage to bandage up the sores. Crying out. So let's be thankful. He was a poor man, he was begging. Living down in the city of Jericho. In defiance of God. Today men and women are defying God. But then, Christ has passed by. I'm glad to say this, that the man couldn't go anywhere, he was there, he was blind. But Jesus Christ came that way, right to where the man was in all his need. You know, it's wonderful the grace of God, isn't it? How he should send his beloved son from the splendors of glory down to this sin-benighted scene, right to where we were in all our need, coming right to us. You know, if we'd been left to our own resources, we would never have sought the Lord. Never do. Man by nature has turned his back on God and is traveling away from God. And will never turn back to God if he's left to himself. But God comes after him right from the very start. When man turned away and started trying to hide from God, God says, Adam, where art thou? And when the Lord was here on earth, he was calling to men and women and he came to them. Jesus is passing by, a passing opportunity. Let me ask you something. Let your mind go back over the years of your life. Can you recall when you were quite young that someone spoke to you about the Savior? Was it in Sunday school? Some Sunday school lesson that you remember that was outstanding above all the rest? Or was it some teacher you listened to that said something that just fitted your need? You never got that text out of your mind, or that illustration, or that message. It stung you. You never were able to obliterate that from your thinking. God knocked. Knocked once. It may be he knocked twice. I wonder how many people have seen the end of a faithful friend, it may be a mother or a father, a grandmother or a grandfather. They've passed on and you've promised yourself then, well, that grandfather of mine was a good Christian man and my mother was a good Christian woman. Now I'll have to get right with God if I'm going to see her again in the glory. And you promised yourself then you were going to get saved. But you knew if you died without being saved, you'd never see them. You'd be lost, lost forever. You say, I must get saved. And you've never trusted Christ yet. I know one fellow who stood at his mother's bedside and promised her he would meet her in heaven. That's a long time ago. 1951. 41 years ago. He promised his mother he would meet her in heaven. He's never got saved yet. And he's now 88 years of age. Friend, God knocks
And he may not the second time. And he may not for the final time. Enough. Finish. Jesus is passing by. The opportunity has come, but it's passing. If he didn't get his sight that day, it'd be too late. Jesus was going up to Jerusalem to die. And so the man cries, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. Have mercy on me. But it wasn't easy. Oh no, there was a powerful opposition to this man. And I tell you this, my friend, I've never known of anybody yet who was anxious to get saved, who didn't come up with some opposition. Oh, it's perhaps easier with the likes of me and others brought up in a Christian home. You're not going to get opposition from your parents for trusting the Lord, you know. But there are others who haven't had it so easy. But we may get opposition from those that we run around with. May get opposition from your companions. May get opposition from those you work beside, who call you all sorts of names. Strange names for people when they get converted, you know. Make fun of them. Opposition. I've known of those who have said, you didn't need to get saved, you're good enough. You don't need to go through that business. You've never done anybody any harm, you know. We had you christened when you were a baby. And so what? I wonder how many thousands were christened when they were children who were going on the road to hell. Never got saved. Salvation doesn't come that way. Oh, but I was baptized when I was an adult, you know, and I joined the church. You may have. But did you trust the Lord? And a lot of these people who baptize you in order to get you saved, ask them if they're sure of their salvation, and I know their answer. No, they're not. First of all, you must have faith. Then you must get baptized. Then you must be obedient. Then you must keep going on in the hope, one of them told me, in the hope that when you get to the great white throne, you'll be right. I said, I'm sorry for you, sir. If you arrive at the great white throne, it's too late. For all those who go to the great white throne will be condemned. And their names are not written in the Lamb's book of life. It's now. Now is the day of salvation. Oh, a powerful opposition. They'll bring up all the opposition they can to prevent you from trusting the Savior. But in spite of that powerful opposition, he kept on crying, Jesus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the hush came. Jesus stood still. What a moment that must have been. The crowd pressing on. And it's just a poor blind man, brother. Why stop the crowd? Why stop the procession for him? Why don't we get on with the business? Did I ever tell you about the time when an old man entered what was known as Ebenezer Hall in the town of Carmarthen in South Wales? An old friend of mine, old Ben, used to sit on a seat down here that faced in this way. He always liked to sit there, for he saw everybody was coming in. And the preacher had left his side and come up here, because there the preachers, they do everything, gives out the hymns, leads the singing, preaches and everything. And so the preacher had left him and was up here. He was just the only one to give out the opening hymn. And the door opened, no man came in. And he didn't come into the back seat, he came walking right up the aisle. Went over to old Ben, he says, Ben, I've come to see you. I need to get saved. Tell me, how can I get saved? The preacher says to him, excuse me, sir, we're just about to start the service.
said, if you just take a seat and a hymn book and help us with the singing, he said, we'll talk to you at the end of the service and tell you how you can get saved. Old Ben says, never mind the service, brother, never mind the service. Let's get this man saved first, then we'll go on with the service.
And they sat down and led the man to the Lord. That's what the service was all about, wasn't it? What's the good of preaching if people want to get saved? Get them saved first.
Passing by. Powerful opposition. Get them saved. He brought him to him, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? What would you like? The greatest thing, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Friend, if your mind has been blinded, if your understanding has never been enlightened, isn't it the greatest thing you could ask for? If the Savior said to you, what would you like me to do for you? Oh Lord, I may receive my sight. Lord, give me spiritual understanding. Lord, save me before it's too late. Let me get saved. And he did. What a perfect operation. Receive your sight. Your faith has made you whole. See, he had heard what the Savior had done for others. He knew what the Savior could do for him. Here was his opportunity now. He cries out at the right time to the right person. He makes his request that I may receive my sight. And the response of the Savior was, receive the sight. Your faith has made you whole. Friend, there's never yet been a sinner who has cried to the Lord for salvation who's been turned away. Don't care who. Deep has died. The down and out. The prodigal could come back. The woman that was dying could touch the hem of his garment and be instantly healed. This was no fake. Immediately he received his sight and glorified God. Gave God all the glory. He didn't say, see, I got my sight because I cried. No, he didn't say that. He gave all the glory to God. It's God that did it for him. And any person who is saved will take no credit to themselves. They'll not say, you see, this is what I did. It's what the Savior did. He was going up to Jerusalem to die. Beloved, I will remind you this morning, he died. He died on the cross, was buried, and was raised again from the dead. Able to give sight to the blind when he was here on earth. Able to give spiritual sight to the spiritual blind today. Able to save to the uttermost all who are coming to God by him. Never a sinner has cried for help and been turned down. He'll not turn you down, don't care who you are. He'll save you and save you now. No matter how old, no matter how young, he'll save you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, be pleased to take our thanks for the Savior crowned at thy right hand today. We thank thee for him, for his power, for his ability, for his willingness to save men and women. O God, we hear him say again, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Grant, O God, that some poor, struggling sinner today may turn to thee and accept Jesus Christ the Savior. Hear us now in these things. Take each of us home in safety and bless us throughout the day for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. The meeting's over. We won't sing a hymn if I've kept you a minute late.